I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Nation Network presents Coming in Hot. Here are your hosts, Brent Wallace, Jason York, and Bobby Ryan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot. I'm Brent Wallace alongside Jason York and Bobby Ryan. We should point out one of the reasons the show is named Coming in Hot is from Bobby Ryan's very first tweet when he got traded to Ottawa. It said, "Ottawa, I'm coming in hot." So that's why the show is named Coming in Hot, if anybody wants to know. I don't think you get any royalties, Bobby, for this, by the way.
I was going to ask if I did, but okay. I actually kind of already knew that. So thank you guys for telling me that officially. somebody owes me a buck or two.
I will send you Canadian.
Okay.
By the way, you were so good. You were so good in yesterday's show with some straight facts, if you will, about Thomas Chabot and whatnot, that we're going to start that way again today. We're going to start with U.S. politics, Bobby.
Just threw the entire thing through a loop. I have all these notes, and none of those were going to go into politics. But if you want to hear the reason why I'm some way,
no.
It's going to piss a lot of people off.
No,
let's start with that way.
I was just kidding.
Yeah. You have to follow me on Instagram once upon a time, eh?
I thought I just muted you. You're not on Instagram anymore.
Nope. Can't do it, man. Can't do it. Yeah. Too many things said.
Okay.
It's too much,
you know,
man.
What? We're going to get to that.
Oh, it got awkward for a second. It wasn't that bad, guys. It was, it wasn't that bad. I was just very, very.
I'm going to get to, because that came up with Nikita Zaitsev. So let me get to that in a sec.
Yeah.
First, Artem Zub, by the way. So the Sens play tonight. They play the LA Kings. They're trying to continue rolling along here, but they do not have Artem Zub, who's out now. Minimum 3 weeks, but I think it's going to be longer than that with a broken jaw. I meant to look. Neither one of you have had anything like that, I'm going to assume. That's a tough loss for Ottawa to fill. Bobby?
Me first, thank you. Honestly, when he came back to that game, so, like, I didn't really put much on it. But, like, it's kind of weird when the adrenaline wears off and then you go back for different images right after the fact. And then you go, oh no, it's kind of what he's done. Like, we've all done that. You go back to, we'll play to, okay, we have to get more images than this. And York can tell you the same thing. Like, you just get different perspective. He probably, like, not the orbital bone, but like right here, what do you call this one? I don't know. He fractured it. Like, there's no way around it. Like, but the fact that he finished the play, obviously they scored, so that's one thing. But and then he came back and played like warrior, right? Like, absolute warrior. But the adrenaline wore off, and he goes, oh, okay, this is probably going to be worse, and it's probably this bone right in here. Just a tough situation because. I really like the player, so it's a big loss for the team.
Yeah, it's a huge loss, and we saw what happened last time Zub was out of the lineup, and then both Zub and Chabot is a double whammy. But Wally, man, I thought you were a pretty good sleuth. I actually did break my jaw. You remember a guy named Dennis Arkhipov, Bobby? Guy played in Nashville.
Big
sleepy Russian guy. And man, so talented, but didn't pay attention in practice. So I'm doing a 2-on-2 in practice. The forwards crisscross. It's a dead drill. I go to poke the puck away. Friggin' Arkhipov, head first, his helmet into the side of my head. I hit the ground. I didn't get knocked out, but I basically broke my, I hate saying this word, orbital bone. I still can't say it right. Cheekbone.
I was trying to say it too. Yeah.
It's a tough one, eh? It's a tough one. So the orbital, cheek, and jaw. I broke all three.
Oh, triple whammy.
Did the triple whammy. Go right to the hospital from practice. Friggin' doctor had to peel my face back. He's like, okay, you're just going to go to sleep now and probably going to have to put some screws in there. So I wake up from surgery. He goes, great news. He goes, I took this little fork after I pulled your face back, popped everything back into place, and just like I get, everything got put back together again. But to the injury, to the point of the injury, it's really painful, man. Like, obviously, that was pretty severe. I actually cracked my jaw once, guys. And that, just cracking your jaw is really painful. You can't eat. You can't, you're basically on a liquid diet for 2 weeks. So when Zub gets back, he's going to have to wear the full bubble. It's going to suck. Anytime someone's in a scrum, someone's going to face wash him, and they're going to, and it's brutal. So I know how he feels. Tough injury. And this is going to be hard on Ottawa, because we keep saying Shabbat's minutes have to come down. They ain't coming down anytime soon. Not with you,
but yeah. They're not coming down at all. There's no way around that right now.
No.
Yorkie, you missed 13 games with a fractured cheekbone and then an additional game with a cheek injury.
Hey,
I guess that's 14.
Yorkie, I can't wait till somebody breaks a finger. I cannot wait till somebody breaks a finger, because this show is going to have a fucking time.
You're the expert on that, right?
Dude, do you know what the worst part about a finger is? Like, so Alfie said one time, and I'll never forget this, break my shoulder, don't break my finger. And that was about like three times into it for me. And I was like, you just can't play. Like, there's no, you know, everything that you do is there. And I was like, okay, you can shield this, or you can shield that, or you can do anything. But every time you break a finger, mayhem, mayhem.
How many times you break yours?
Seven.
You broke it seven times? What the fuck? Get some new gloves, for God's sake. Get some new gloves.
Buddy, there was a Twitter account called Bobby Ryan's Fingers at one point. It was insane. Like, I just couldn't, like, I got back from one and another broke. And then it was like 6 weeks every single time. And then we froze them. And then, you know what the freezing is? Like, they take that, the shooting pain, the digital block. And they're like, yeah, you can play. And I'm like, I can't play. I have no clue what I'm doing right now because of the feel. It was insane. It was, break my shoulder, not my finger.
Yeah. That it's pretty crazy. I kept
a running tally on Twitter.
Yeah.
I have it somewhere.
Yeah. You and your faux hawk.
It was, because it's wild. Somebody just said the other day I needed a comb. It's like,
I had to take a shot.
I don't have to do anything with this.
I had to take a shot.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
Yeah. I thought about that. I thought about it all day yesterday.
Your hair doesn't move. You don't need a comb.
I know, but pretty soon it's just going to be the Brent Wallace show. That's what's going to happen here between the two of you, yesterday and today. By the way, Yorkie, could you not have made the bed?
The bed is made. Look at this. I wanted to do it from outside, by the way, but too many kids crying out there. Too many kids. The morning at hotels, you go down early for breakfast when the kids are down there. Holy cow. Talk about
it's mayhem.
You look like you had a little SPF 60 there yesterday. Yeah, just coming down a notch.
I know. getting self-conscious, Bobby, making fun of the forehead. Jesus Christ.
No, you could land the 747 on it.
Still, hey, listen, I'm still glad I got the feathers at this age, fellas. And at least I'm not completely gray like some guys, right?
We're off the rails again.
Listen, I'll take the full head of hair.
Yeah, I'll take it too. Hair. We're almost full.
See, someone said I had electable hair. That's all I continue to go with that slogan.
You can work with that.
Let's get back on track, shall we? Just so you know, Thomas Chabot and Artem Zub in the lineup. The Sens are 7-3. Without them, 3-9-1. I don't think it's any coincidence. But what does – and we keep saying this, and I guess maybe we should just move on. But what does Artem Zub do, because he's not flashy in the slightest, that is so good? Yorkie, since you're the D, you get to go first.
Do you know what he does? There's certain guys on your blue line, when they're on the ice, it's just calmer on the ice. It's tough to put a word on it, but I'd say the biggest thing to describe Zub is calmness. He's on the ice. He gets the puck. He's not stick handling the puck like crazy. He never does. You ever see these guys, and Subban used to do this, and guys where they do unnecessary spinoramas or unnecessary stick handles. Zub just gets the puck and he makes the play, and it's usually the right play 99% of the time. Defends really well. He's one of those guys that just checks all the boxes for what you want in the top four defenseman. Is he a number one? No, but he's a perfect guy to play with a guy like Thomas Chabot, because he's just stable, he's steady, he's calm. And those guys, to me, are so valuable, because those are the guys that make it easy for your forwards. When the forward comes back, the puck arrives on time. It's like having a good quarterback that gives his balls to the receivers and on time, on the numbers. And that's why he's so good. He's just a real calm presence, and he just understands how to play the position the right way. So I can't say enough good things about him. I just think he's the type of guy that every team needs.
You waiting for me, Wally? Not say anything other than that. I think that what I like about Zub is he always goes north. There's not a lot of backtracking in his play. It's one thing to say a good defenseman goes north between the goal line or below the goal line, excuse me. But he does it everywhere. He just finds the next outlet, and that's it. He makes the play. And that's it. And he moves on. There's nothing flashy. There's nothing sexy, aside from one celebration ever. And we're going to have him on to break that down at some point. But there's nothing flashy. He just does the right play at the right time. And he's marked with thought to Erik Karlsson, but lighter. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Do you guys?
He's a meth. He's a meth type player, but meth was a lot more physical. So that was the only
The
difference. Was meth? Was meth in the Fat Club, Bobby? You said later. Was he in the Fat? Was he a guy with the calipers in the summer too?
No, we hated that guy, man. We hated that guy. Meth would just show up, and they'd be like, "Okay, maybe you're a little heavy," but never heavy in the fact that his body fat was fine. He was always good. But then you would put guys on the ice that just translated. Like Scott Niedermeyer is one of those guys that his body fat was always a little bit high, and then you just put him on the ice and you just let him go. And Meth is one of those guys. He's just a workhorse, and you let those guys go, right? But Meth is like the safety valve, and so is Zub. Like he's kind of this. I'll take the brunt of what you make up the ice, but I'll cover for it, kind of guy.
And by the way, I asked Zub's agent for an interview, and I got back, Zub doesn't do interviews. So we will continue to wait for Artem Zub to come on the show.
Well,
speaking.
What's his contract right now? I'll talk him into it. He doesn't make that much. We'll get him in here.
Yeah. Well,
he needs to get signed soon.
We basically just got him an extra $1 million a year by friggin' telling all these great things about him. He owes us.
I feel like we got to break him down a little bit. Let's break him down and get him on the show.
Yeah, you better get on here. The value is going down.
All right. We will work on that. Meanwhile, speaking of Russian defensemen, Nikita Zaitsev back for two games. He was kind of Artem Zub before Artem Zub, and I know I'm going to get some hate mail for this, but he at one point was an effective guy that wasn't very flashy and played a lot of minutes for the Ottawa Senators. We know that that's changed. Yorkie, I get to start with you again because it's still on the D. Did you notice him in his last two games back in the lineup?
I looked for him, and what I did notice, what he just played some pretty steady hockey. He just went out and did his job. I've always found he's pretty good on the penalty kill. That's one thing that Zaitsev does very well, I think, is on the PK. He closes fast. He's hard on guys in front of the net. And that's a position he can succeed in. When he gets into trouble now as a defenseman is – to me, he's not the best at handling the puck and trying to make maybe a play in the middle that you have to make quick, a play that Zub can make regularly. Zaitsev's more of a guy who has to go up the boards, and that's fine. Just don't turn the puck over. I didn't see that at all, so I didn't notice him that much, which is a good thing. When you don't notice Zaitsev, it means he's had a nice game. So, yeah, he struggled early, guys. We all know that. He was taking so much heat. But I'll tell you one thing, when you're a team that's continually defending, you're in your own zone, you turn pucks over, when you're a guy like Zaitsev, you actually look a lot worse than you are because you never get to see the plays of, oh, look at that great pass, or look at him jump up into the play, or look at that other offensive play, because he doesn't have that in his game. So a defensive defenseman is going to look a lot worse when a team is losing, not to defend his play or anything, because he didn't play very well, but last two games, total opposite. I thought he was pretty good. Went out there and just did his job.
Yeah, I would agree like wholeheartedly. If you don't notice Z, it's a good thing. That's kind of where you go with that, right? I played with Z. I love Z. I love the guy. I love the guy that he is. Excuse me, in the room. And Yorkie can tell you, like a zero maintenance guy, which you always want. But he just goes up, he just goes about his business. Doesn't matter what he's doing, what the day is. It doesn't matter. He's just there to work. Probably, like you said, took too much heat early on because guess what? When you're building through the D in the centers, you know, it kind of gets exposed a little bit. The switches don't change, the whatever it might be. I mean, he's made some unexcusable plays. Like he has, there's just no way around that. But I genuinely think he's a very, very good defenseman. I hate it going against him. Hate it going against him in practice. Like he's just one of those guys that you knew was going to work every day, and he's going to work every night. There's just no way around the fact that he's going to work every single night. And I really want to see him turn it around. Like what's he got? 1 year left.
Yeah. So what's wrong?
Play. Not a lot. He's not going to give you much more than he's got. He's going to be a shutdown defender. He's going to move the puck up ice. I don't know what's wrong. I don't think he's been anything less or more than you can give him, but he's a 5-6 defenseman. He just happens to have a contract that like some guys get contracts and they can't live up to it.
I gotcha.
Never heard of that, eh?
Making too much money. I was never in that position. I was always underpaid, man. Hey, what's up, Bobby? I'm always.
So was I,
Bobby. What's? Yeah, come on. says the guy with three houses. Anyhow, hey, how was? I'm always curious about guys in the room. You said you got four hoses. How is Zaitsev in the room? Good guy, good dude. Because the Russian guys, all the guys I play with, are pretty quiet. Is he a guy that would speak up from now and then?
No. You know the saying, like one Russian's great, two Russians is okay, three Russians is too many.
That's true.
It's so true. You know, but I actually can say that every single time I would walk into the locker room, I was always one of the first guys there, you know, married, kids, whatever. You walk in, it's always the kids or the guys with kids there. I would walk in and Z would be the only guy in the room already checking his stall, already checking how to go about his business. I love the man. Doesn't say much, just kind of goes about, like I said, goes about his business. But one of the genuinely nicest guys that I've played with.
Yeah. Wally, he's been, Bobby, in being in Ottawa for the last, since the start of the season, I know you're here. We're talking about the noises, right, stuff, and everyone tries to figure it out. And I remember DJ as a player. And when DJ played the game, he played really hard. He was a 5-6-7 defenseman. He was up the boards, penalty kill. I always believe this because I coach now. The coaches deep down inside love what they were, and they love guys like that. And everyone's, why is DJ keep doing this? Why does he keep playing him? And not that he has a soft spot, but I honestly believe coaches do have, I don't know, do you think there's something to that? The coaches kind of love the players that they were. It's kind of in them and tough to get away from that. I think there's something there. What about you?
I would think more so in this situation, but I would agree with that wholeheartedly. But I think more so in this situation, it's the guys that he brought from Toronto, like Ron Hainsey there the first year. And Ron Hainsey was like our coach, honestly. That year was a mess. Like that first year for DJ, and I was part of it. But it was a mess. Like it was. You know, we had people coming in and out. I don't even know how many call ups we had, but at some point, I think we had 50 call ups. You know, between guys coming in and out. Mike McKenna was our starting goalie. I love Mike McKenna, by the way. At a certain point, I'll tell you another story of Mike McKenna, but I played with him my first year pro in Portland, Maine. And then 14 years later, we played together in Ottawa. Nonetheless, I love him. But I think that coaches have a soft spot for guys that they've seen come up. And he saw Nikita because he was running a back end in Toronto for a bit. So he saw him come up and he wants him to do well and has a soft spot for him, for sure. And there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. Remember when he brought Guy Boucher in and then he brought who was that kid that he brought in? The French
Pyatt.
Kid. Oh my God. He's so bad.
It was
at Pyatt. No, not Pyatt. No.
Pyatt.
Yeah. No. Pyatt could play. Who was the other kid?
Mac, was it Lajoie, the defenseman?
No, hang on.
No, he wasn't French.
Talking about though? We called him a meatball.
Yes. Dumont. JP Dumont?
Yeah. No, not JP Dumont.
Hang on.
But some kid that was so bad at hockey. Oh, my goodness.
Somebody right now is yelling at the screen.
Yeah. I remember that. That's what we called him in the locker room. He told us that was his nickname. And we were like, you're a nice guy, but you're so bad at hockey. it was hard to watch. Do you know who I'm talking about, Wally? You're looking
Wally's
it up. Right now.
I'm trying to. I'm
he's frantically
right
searching
I'm
for
to,
this. We got to know this name, man. Oh,
man! And he was such a
damn it,
dude.
This
I love
be a good
the
time.
Kid.
It's more so with GMs though, guys. With general managers, once they draft a guy really high, that guy is gonna get. He's getting 3, 4, maybe 5 strikes as long as that GM comes around another team, that guy he drafted, he's safe. Everyone's got a guy like that. I told Wally, I had a guy like that. Pierre Gauthier was my guy. I just kept getting contracts because of him.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
That's the guy.
He played a few games, eh?
Yeah, 23. Hang on. Yeah, I played 23, had 1 goal, 1 assist, was a +2.
Yeah, but I think he played with Guy back in the juniors. He was like, so did Hoffman.
He did.
And, you know, Yeah. And they played, I don't know if they played together or whatever, but Guy just kept trying to sell me and Stoner on him being our line mate. And I'll never forget it. Stoner's like, hey, I like everybody. I'm good to play with anybody because Stoner can make anybody good because nobody's asking to play with this guy, Guy. Nobody's asking to play with so and so. I remember I was hurt. I had my second of 12 broken fingers or whatever it was. And him and I would like do the bag skates together. And this guy would just shut it down, like middle of the bag skate. So I'm good for the day. And it would just leave me out there. just leave me out there. But he had a free pass from Gee.
That's so good. Well, you should have been nicer.
I'm done.
Yeah. You're done.
Where is Boucher right now? What's he doing? What's he doing, Wally? Is he doing TV or something?
He's doing TV.
RDS or something. Yeah.
He does art. I believe it's RDS. He won't come on the show. I've asked.
No, I called him a couple weeks ago too, and he's got zero interest. Zero. Yeah.
He says I've never spoken publicly about the Sens, and I will not speak about them.
Really? Come on. Time heals all wounds.
He told
it?
Me. So I'll tell you, and I'll keep it brief. But Guy Boucher got through to me more than anybody that I've ever played for, and got more out of me than anybody I've ever played for. I can say that. But he was tiring for guys. I get that. But he was like analytical and logical, and just like to do different things. So when he got fired, we were in Washington and we played the next game, and like Mark Borowiecki said, "Hey, we have to have this meeting, because this is a shit show." Like, our team was at that point, and anybody knows. And we were like, "Hey guys, let's just finish this year out." And then we lost 7-2 that night. I'll never forget that. But at the same time, I remember going to Guy's house, and I had a 6-pack of his favorite wine that I called in and got like his favorite wine from somebody, left it on his door with a note that said, "Hey, I've never done that for a coach before," but he was genuinely the nicest person. And one of the best coaches that I've ever had. So he kind of got the fallout, right? Because that team blew up. That team blew up right after we took a run. And, you know, I don't think he deserved that. But I loved him. I really did.
When do you want to discuss that blow up?
I remember
this, Bobby, this is only 9 pages long. I can't wait for that one.
I remember when Boucher was coaching, I forget what year it was, but I was doing the color commentating for a game. It was out in San Jose. You guys weren't very good, and I'm talking to Boucher, and he's like, "Yeah, Eric Carlson's like our only good D." He goes, we're not very good." This is what he's telling me before the game.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You guys go out to play the game. I'm like, oh, okay.
Was it on air?
No, it was one of those little conversations before the game, getting a little stuff for the game. And I'm like, well, there's a couple D I don't mind back there. Like, this guy's not, no, we're not very good. He goes, We're in tough here. I'm like, okay, I like your confidence going into this game. Like, you're feeling good about things, you know, by those comments.
I love playing for him because he would, you know, we had a system that nobody liked to play our system. We all hated it, right? But it worked for us. And obviously it worked for us because of the run that we had. But before Stoner kind of like really, really became Stoner, and you know, Kyle Turris wanted to play the middle of the ice more. I'll never forget. He comes over to me a couple times. He goes, "Hey, Bobby, we're not a great team, but we're a pretty good team. But let's just win 2-1, not 3-2 or 4-3." I was like, "Okay, you know." And then I think that he probably had that conversation with like 7 or 8 guys, and we all said, "Let's just do that. Let's just do that." Because if you win, you're all going to get paid, right? That's kind of the thing. I was already getting paid. I was like, yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, did you ever run in the Ron Wilson? Did you ever play for Ron Wilson? Or was he gone before you were playing?
He was with us at the Olympics in 2010, I think.
Was he?
Oh God. Who was my 2010 Olympic coach on the U.S. team? I feel like that was him. Yeah.
I think it was Ronnie.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah.
Ronnie was my first coach when I was playing for it was the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. So this is,
yeah,
he would come in before the game. We were second year expansion team, and Ronnie was a beauty. It's like, guys, we're playing the Rangers, and they were loaded. They had Leach, Messier, all these guys. He goes, "Our chances of winning aren't very good." He goes, "Let's go out. We'll do our duck trap. And that was his pregame speech. And then he throws on a little video from the Mighty Ducks movie, and we watch it. We watch a 2-minute clip of this Ducks movie. Then we go out and play the Rangers and just get spanked. But that was, it was like we went into the game, and it was like, okay, yeah, we're not good. We're probably going to lose. And let's watch a Mighty Ducks movie. All right, boys, on three, let's go. Oh, boy.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. I mean, that's a tough jersey, buddy. So
it's, you know what, last year, so bad it's good.
Actually, you know what, I can get by with that. But the last year that they had ever had the Mighty Ducks jersey, like the Mighty Ducks before they changed into the Anaheim Ducks, was my draft year. So I started playing hockey because of that movie, swear to God. Hand to God, that was how I started playing hockey. Yeah, and then I got drafted by the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and I have that jersey. I don't even know where that jersey is. I got to be honest with you. But I still have the Anaheim Mighty Ducks draft jersey, and then never got to wear it in the game. But nonetheless, I was the last first-round draft pick that they've ever had in that. And that's my claim to fame.
Nice. A little history here on coming.
Just a couple of picks before Carey.
Moving on. By the way, I'm way behind. This show, as always, brought to you by Renfrew Pro. Go to Renfrew Pro Tape. I should have had this done about a half hour ago. RenfrewPro.com, yeah. The ones with the green core. Also, follow them on Instagram at Renfrew Pro. They usually have weekly giveaways of free tape, all kinds of stuff. RenfrewPro.com. They are the leaders in hockey tape. And Chris Neal could probably use some because he used like a roll every time he put a shin pad on. Also, while we're at it, BEI, Bonisher Excavating Inc. Go to BEI and check them out for all your landscape needs. BonisherExcavating.com. Give them a call, 613-432-1120. Also a reminder, they are hiring BEI, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, there's lots to talk about. We could go to, you know what, by the way, one more thing about Guy Boucher, because he does take some heat from players like Chris Neal, other players that didn't always see eye to eye with Boucher, but that happens with all coaches. My kid's team, I don't know, he's probably like 7. They're going to the championship game. And I was like, Guy, do you have any kind of quote I could give them and read it in the room or something? And he ends up sending me, I think, over a paragraph of, "Go out, play hard.
It stops the critic that counts."
It was really, right. Like he was really good. So yeah. Ended up being printed off and given to all the kids. But that was just something he took the time out of. And I said, "I know you're really busy," but he sent this quote along just so that, you know, these kids went into this game thinking, you know, Guy Boucher wants us to go win. So I appreciate all that Guy Boucher has done. He was always very good to me. So we will move on. The LA Kings in town tonight. Sens are now 8 points back of a wild card playoff spot. I know people get excited, and then all of a sudden the next day, right, at one point they're 5 or 6 points, and now it's back to 8, and that stuff gets tough. But you do have to be somewhat pleased with the way they're playing. 4 wins in the last 5 games. Like, are they out of that funk, or is it just could be the next game the sky's falling again? Bobby, we'll start with you.
From a fan standpoint, then I mean, they're one game away from the sky falling for sure. But I honestly, you always use that like November, mid-November, late November. Sorry, Thanksgiving, the U.S. Thanksgiving is the place to say, okay, if you're in the playoffs by then. But no, I think this team just kind of had to get their stuff together, and they're starting to get there. And I think that they're starting to know what they are as a team with an identity. I don't think they're top two outlines, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they're top two lines. They're going to outskill anybody. They really aren't, but they're top four lines can roll. Does that make sense? I think that they're just getting there. And then, I mean, obviously you play the fourth line, sorry, with spot duty, but at the same time, you got three lines that can give you some offense. They're good. I like the team right now. I like where they're at. I mean, we would like to see them a little closer for sure, but it's too close to say whether they're going to make the playoffs or not. Too much stuff can happen. They're one injury away from being a disaster, right? But at the same time, they're only two injuries away from being very, very good.
Yep, with putting Norris and Zoom back in that lineup.
I want to see how they play in this next little stretch without Zoom. If you're going to be a team that has a chance to win every night, you're going to have to be able to play with having some injuries. And the last time they had some injuries, they just fell apart. So now this is a critical time for me to see what kind of team Otto is. Zub's out of the lineup for probably 2-3 weeks. Let's see how they do tonight against LA. And let's see how they do in the next little stretch here, because injuries are going to continue to happen for this team. And I agree with Bobby. This team could be an injury away, which they are right now, from going back into a funk again. It's just they don't have the depth. And I also look at those bottom two lines. When I look at the teams that win consistently in the NHL right now, on those third and fourth lines, they have some guys that chip in offensively. I know Joseph's been better the last few weeks. He's starting to do some things for you. Brassard's had a few nice games here and there. But I'd like to see a little more offense, and I know it's tough because you need a long stick from the bench to put it in the net, as Bob Hill and forwards will tell you. But I'd like to see Kelly. He needs to start doing a few things. Kastelic, Mott was good early on. You need those guys to chip in. Watson as well. But I really want to see how they do with their zoo. But this is a very important stretch for them right now, because last time this happened, the team completely fell apart.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that they with Brass, and I played with Brass. I love Brass, but I think that he's being relied upon more than what they thought. You know, he's been everything from 1C to 2C to 3C. Like, he's just been up and down. So I don't think you're going to get a lot out of him offensively at this point in his stage, in his career. Excuse me. But if you can plug him in with guys like Joseph and Mott, I think there's a chance there. I really do. But I don't know. I think we've elevated Pinto too much. Not to say that he's not going to be a 2C, but I don't think he's not a 2C, right? Like, he's a third line center. And then he had success early on, so everybody thought differently. But he's a third line center. There's nothing wrong with that. He's a very, very good hockey player. So then you look at Kastelic and Watson and Kelly. They're zero offense coming there. I like both those players. There's just zero offense. So when you have to pretty much rely on three lines, right, like, to get you any kind of offense, and you're elevating a guy like Brassard, who is supposed to be your 13-14 forward. We're pretty heavy into the depth chart at this point. So. It's top six heavy with a guy that's being relied upon a little too much, in my opinion, in Pinto. So I don't know where it's going to come from deep in the lineup, but it's not going to come from now Shabby playing with Z and Sanderson and Harmonic. You just got to hope that some guys step up, right?
Yeah. I liked to your point there, Bobby, I liked when they had Pinto playing with Joseph and Mott. I just find Joseph and Mott, they play so simple that, that Pinto didn't have to complicate things. It's like, oh, hey, now all of a sudden I'm a top six. So now I got to make sure I get the puck to DeBrincat. Got to make, like, because there's something to that with forwards, Bobby. You try and do too much because now, I agree. I think it's too much for Pinto. Why not Brassard? To me, I know he's older. I kind of like him when he plays with your top guys. He's got a good stick. He knows how to distribute the puck. I like that a little bit better when I see Brassard up there. What about you?
Yeah, I honestly, I thought that when, and you know, being a top six guy for a while, and Brass played with us for a little bit, and you know, I love playing with him because he just kicked it out to the wings and drove the middle and then played, like, you know, and then you can open things up from there. He's, you put him in any role that you want, but he's always going to be a little bit more off offensive minded. That's just the kind of way he is. But you know, taking it back from there, I loved Pinto in that role with Mott and Joseph. Like, that's me too. You know, where he, yeah, where he saw all of his success early on, was with those guys. And then, and then, you know, you know, he's elevated by nature at this point because it's, what else are you gonna do? So I get it, but I think Shane has you know, had success early and then has gotten a little bit elevated by what he's gonna be. I don't think he's gonna be that 25 goal scorer that people are looking for. I just don't see that. But Brass is a great stopgap. That's what he is. And when you're that injured, that's what he is. And just let him play there. People don't want to see him on the top six, but that's kind of what you're protecting Shane Pinto, not for this year, but for the years forward.
All right. Okay. Then I'm going to ask you one question before we move on, because I'm going to run out of time. And that is, if Shane Pinto is scoring 9-10 goals at this point, does he not get to play in a top two center spot while Derek Brassard has 1-2 goals?
Who's got more goals in the last? Pinto. Here's the thing. Pinto had all that success early, guys, and it was just clicking. It's just certain things work where when I watch Mott and Joseph play, it's straight line hockey. It's north south. It's go to the net. You know, the puck's getting chipped in. Whereas with DeBrincat, he'll come over to the blue line. There's a lot of pull ups. Try and let the play go by him. Hit guys late. Mott and Joseph don't play that way. And all of a sudden, Pinto now, who's still trying to figure out the league, is now changing his style. And you're not doing it deliberately. You're just trying to go up and play hard. But I think Bobby is a little better to speak with the forward situation on this one. But I know, as a defenseman, when I played with different guys, your game kind of changes because, well, this guy can't do this or that. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, man, everyone just assumes that Pinto is going to be able to do this right away. It's so hard to be a top six forward right away, let alone a center iceman. It's a lot to ask. So I'd have on the third line right now. That's just me.
100%. 100%. I don't disagree with a single thing that you said, except for agreeing with the fact that he is right now. And you have to remember, like, this is not the season for the Sens. I'm not casting them off, but I'm saying that this is the season where you're looking at guys like Shane Pinto to make a major step. We already know the Brady, the Shabbies, the Bathursons. Those guys have already done that. Stutzel has done that. This is a year where you're finding out who's what outside of those guys. And Shane Pinto is, I think, your best third line center that you're going to have. Like, it's not going to get better, and you can elevate him, but I don't think he plays that well elevated. I think he plays better with, like, the guys that we said that are just straight north, south. Let him own the middle of the ice, and then you go three lanes outside of that. Does that make sense to you guys?
Perfect sense.
Yeah, he scored some goals. My God, can he shoot the puck? Like he can shoot the puck, and you put him in the bumper roll, give him some middle ice at the time on the second PP, the power killers. But at the same time, I just think he's that guy that can you can plug and play, but you don't want to elevate him too quickly, I don't think.
Well, when it comes to being Santa, he is a top line guy, because Shane Pinto, I believe it was yesterday or on Sunday, the Sens looked like they had their annual team Christmas party, and he played the role of Santa. He said to Ian Mendez, quote, "It was cool to do that for the kids. I'm way too young, so I had to put a pillow in my belly. The one thing I struggled with was the voice. I have a, it's not a high-pitched voice, but I can't get a deep voice." So full marks to Shane Pinto for stepping up to be Santa. Were either one of you ever Santa, or do you have any of these team party Christmas stories?
You know what, Yorkie, yep. With my body fat percentage, I never got there. I was just always slightly underneath. No clue. And I honestly, we never did this. We made the young guys sing carols and stuff for the wives and the girlfriends and whatever it might be. But this is a first for me. So, 15 years or whatever it was in the league, this is, I love this. I love this. Make a young guy get full into it.
Yeah. No. Well, we always, we did the Christmas rookie sing along where the rookies would have to sing, and we'd do the hospital visit, which was awesome over at Chio and around Christmas time, and we do the rookie sing, which was a tradition that the Sens have always done. I still love that. It's such a good day. Do you know who dressed up? And this was actually after I was done playing. Dono, as we all know, Bob, Dono loves to dress up. Dono dressed up. We were at a party one night. Oh, I wish I had a picture of this. He'd kill me if I showed it, though. He dressed up in this. He had this skimpy little Santa suit on. He was dressed up as bad Santa, and he had everybody at the party sitting on his lap. Oh, it was classic Donald.
I heard there were a couple stories about green hands. Were there green hands on that one?
Oh yeah, it was green hands on that one.
Yeah. So Spez. I know this, Spez painted his entire house white, like everything, you know, all over or whatever. And there were just green Hulk hands going all over the place. And I never played with Dono, but I'll never forget, because I heard the story. Dono was walking out and was just, just freewheeling green hands all over the walls. They woke up in the morning, they're like, Dono got us.
Yeah. That was a different party. But Dono's, well, man, we got to get him on the show. One of the best teammates, so good at parties, such a good team guy. Do you remember the skate? It was the Wally the Sen skills competition
with the lap.
Sorry. I don't think you weren't with Ottawa yet. Dono did the speed skating. And he wiped out into the corner, and then the next year somebody came out with a padded suit on. It was so funny. Oh my God. What was that?
So when I was coming back from multiple hand injuries, every time I would play, and I'll never forget one time, because Clark MacArthur was coming back that nobody knew about, right? Clark, me, Dono, Chris Neal was hurt at the same time, and Alfie. So we would play five guys in a circle, monkey in the middle kind of thing. And we were just like, okay, well, I would look around the table and I'm like, okay, I'm going to beat Naylor. I'm going to beat Dono. I'm going to beat, maybe Alfie, because he's doing the thing or whatever. It was always me and Alfie at the end. Like, we had to make, because everybody had to get out. And Dono was the first guy out every time, because he couldn't contain himself. When he got monkey in the middle, he would just run around in circles. And I mean, we did this for a month, man, because I had a broken hand. Alfie was just one handed playing for fun. Clark, he's coming back from a head injury. And then him and Neeler are just fighting each other every time. I'll never forget it. That was the same year we made that run, right? Because Clark, he played a big part in that. But for literally 4 weeks, we played monkey in the middle, and Dono was the first guy out every time, every single time.
That's awesome.
He's one of my favorites.
I love that guy.
I don't know if you have your ugly Christmas sweaters yet, but sure to get them. And if you don't, if you guys saw the poster that was made for our show on the weekend, looked like the Home Alone for Coming in Hot. That's done by Doodling Daryl. He does a bunch of our artwork. So there it is. So that's done by Daryl Quinlan. Follow him on Instagram at Doodling Daryl, or you can go to his shop and get an Ugly Sens Christmas sweater or the Zoob t-shirt or whatnot. But that is doodlingdaryl.com. We always thank him for all the artwork he does for us. Finally, before we go, by the way, do you guys do ugly Christmas sweaters? Should we have a show with ugly Christmas sweaters?
I got a couple.
I just got a new one. It says shitter's full. And it's a picture of Clark MacArthur. Swear to God.
Okay. Okay, that'll work.
I'm not going to wear it on
Christmas vacation. He
never come on this thing. He will never come on it. And Wally, you and I have talked about trying to get him on. He will never come on. He won't even answer a text. But I sent him a picture of that, and he sent me back a middle finger. That's all I got from Clark MacArthur.
See, yeah, how do we get him on the show? He will not, like,
nope, has zero interest in talking to us, guys. I feel like if we could, like, reduce the glare from both of your foreheads, we'd have a chance.
You know,
says the guy, says the I'll guy just sit here in the dark. Off. Get you're gonna take that hat off or what? Yeah.
I can't, no. I chopped it off and it didn't go well. I chopped it off and it didn't go well, guys.
All right, fine. We'll get out of here.
Just wait.
Yeah. We have a special guest hopefully coming up on Thursday. If not, it's all on Bobby. That's his fault. So stay with us on Thursday. This show, as always, brought to you by Renfrew Pro Tape. Go to renfrewpro.com. Boys, we will see you. Yorkie, what's on the schedule for today, Yorkie? Like, is it a stroll on the beach with a fanny pack? Do you like have a straw hat? How do things go when you're your age?
There it is.
Oh, we have home videos.
It's awesome.
Is that the elbow room?
Yeah, right by the elbow room. They've got these little they're like golf carts with roofs. You take these things around Lauderdale, they're everywhere. They're called crickets. So me and my wife Laurel have been going around. Look at that Christmas tree. That's the what do they call that? The number right there. Elbow room's right there. There it is. But we've been cruising around with these crickets, going cruising around Fort Lauderdale. So that's the plan today. We're going to go probably rent some bikes today, go to the beach, and hopefully get a tan. Still working on that.
Well, good luck. That spot right it seems like it's corner. A lot of work.
We're not seeing him anytime soon.
Everybody knows the elbow room.
You know what? We should dedicate a show to the elbow room.
That's fair, because it's right by the team hotel where everybody stays. So by the end of the night, I know that the media would go out and the players would all go out for dinner and then the training staff. Eventually, we'd all end up at the same spot. We'd just find different spots to go sit. But the elbow room was always a general meeting spot for everybody. That's where I had my first Lagunitas.
What? I had to retire from that.
That's Wally, that elbow room, I just remember that. That was the night, this is a long time ago, where Jacques Martin hid in the lobby after the whole team went to the elbow room. He hid in the lobby to catch guys coming in after curfew. He was hiding behind a plant in the lobby and nobody saw him. And the next day we lost. We fly back to Ottawa. We had a curfew, whole team. We made an executive decision. Whole team is going out. Whole team goes out. We're all out till whenever. Jacques went around the room after and had a sheet and went guy by guy and asked what time everybody got home at. We had this one beauty on our team. He didn't come home. He basically came home the next day. And when Jacques asked him, he goes, what time do you get home? He's like, and it was an afternoon game, so it was possible. He goes, 8 a.m. Or sorry, he said 8 o'clock. He didn't say 8 a.m., so Jacques looked at him. He didn't have him on the sheet because he never saw the guy come in because he never came back. So moral of the story, Wally, if you're going to miss curfew, come home really, really late because you're not going to get caught.
Just don't come home.
I'll make this quick, but the best coach that I've ever played for that, you know, I loved Mark Crawford, who was our assistant coach one time. And he goes,
he's a beauty.
Bobby, were you out late last night? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh my. Oh. He goes, Bobby, were you out late last night? I go, no. And he goes, For Christ's sake, son, get a newspaper, tuck it under your arm, and walk past me. Like, just try harder. I was like, oh, okay, deal. That's it. Get a newspaper, put it under your arm. I was like, yeah, I got nothing to say to that. It was one of the best things I've ever heard.
Good call. By the way, no. I used to deliver Mark Crawford's newspaper when he played for the Fredericton Express in the AHL.
No way. I absolutely love them. I love them. One of my favorite people ever.
Yeah, I always told him he was a terrible tipper. All right, boys, beat it. We'll see you next time. Thanks for watching. That is Coming in Hot. Take care.
See you, fellas.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.